In the shadow of the Blue Ridge Mountains stands Ashby House, a magnificent gray stone mansion where wealth and wickedness have intertwined for generations. When Camden and his wife Jules arrive at this imposing estate, they're stepping into a world where money has corrupted everything it touches. Camden has spent years running from his inheritance, and the memory of Ruby McTavish Callahan Woodward Miller Kenmore, his adoptive mother, nicknamed Mrs. Kilmore for her four deceased husbands. Now, after a decade of living modestly as a prep school teacher in Colorado, he's reluctantly returning to face the legacy he abandoned. The moment they cross the threshold, the atmosphere shifts. Inside, the smell of beeswax polish, dying flowers, and perpetual wood smoke creates an unmistakable aura of preserved wealth. Ruby's portrait watches from above the stairs, her emerald green evening gown and faint smile seeming to follow every movement through the house. Camden's cousin Libby greets them with barely concealed hostility, while cousin Ben offers a warmth that doesn't quite reach his eyes. Something sinister lurks beneath the polished surface of this family reunion, a darkness that's been carefully cultivated for decades. What kind of woman murders four husbands and sleeps peacefully afterward? Ruby McTavish's letters reveal a calculating mind behind a socialite smile. Her first husband, Duke Callahan, met his end after months of abuse. When threatened with a hunting rifle, something in Ruby snapped. She shot him twice, deliberately aiming for his heart the second time, then staged a robbery and established a memorial scholarship in his name for students who exemplified kindness. Her second husband, Hugh Woodward, suffocated her with obsessive behaviors, monitoring her calls and tracking her movements. Ruby manipulated circumstances, repeatedly suggesting Christmas lights in a barn with faulty wiring for their anniversary party. Most chilling was her murder of Andrew Miller, her true love. After Ruby confessed her previous murders, Andrew withdrew emotionally. She began poisoning him with ant killer in his tea and oatmeal, hoping he would either leave or report her. Despite his deteriorating health, Andrew never revealed what she was doing. Her fourth husband, Roddy Kenmore, was simply pushed overboard during a midnight sail, Ruby knowing he couldn't swim. Camden discovers that Ruby McTavish was actually Dora Darnell through violet ink letters where Ruby documented tracking down Helen Darnell's daughter, Claire, and learning the truth. Mason McTavish, desperate after his biological daughter Ruby's disappearance, had purchased Helen's child from William Darnell, then had William killed after the transaction instead of helping him escape legal troubles. In response, Helen burned every dollar of the blood money. This revelation explained Ruby's childhood experiences, Anna McTavish's emotional distance, hesitant embraces, and smiles that never reached her eyes. Ruby's lifelong sense of displacement and disconnection from the McTavish family suddenly made sense. Ruby's discovery of her true identity became an obsession that shaped her decisions, including naming Camden as heir rather than allowing the fortune to revert to relatives she viewed as corrupted by entitlement. At Ashby House, manipulation is the primary language. Ruby controlled Camden even beyond death, freezing his accounts when he tried escaping to California. Upon his return, she revealed she'd taken pills, seeing his car, a test of his loyalty. She believed Camden was her redemption among the corrupt McTavishes. Ben and Libby play their own deception games, with Ben collaborating with Jules to lure Camden home, while Libby attempts to seduce Camden to protect her inheritance. Nell weaponizes status through her bitter insistence on being called Mrs. McTavish and reminders that Camden is some boy from the streets. Jules proves the most masterful manipulator, orchestrating Camden's return by secretly corresponding with Ben. Though she genuinely loves Camden, her desire for wealth after growing up poor in a Panama City trailer park drives her actions. The McTavish influence extends throughout Tavistock. Local businesses close because they had to raise the rents. When Nell dies suspiciously, the family attorney quickly dismisses foul play, despite evidence of bruising. In this world, money doesn't just talk. its silences.
Asbie House functions as both crucible and fishbowl, a laboratory where wealth's corrosive effects unfold. Despite countless rooms, privacy remains an illusion as ambition and resentment simmer. Like Homer's lotus eaters offering narcotic paradise, the mansion's opulence creates a gilded cage that severs connections to normal life. Jules transforms with alarming speed. Her initial justification of wanting money for Camden's benefit evolves into naked personal desire. Morning coffee on the veranda becomes a gateway to grander aspirations. Daydreams of becoming Mrs. McTavish with luxury vehicles and elevated status. The ease with which she contemplates removing people she once sympathized with reveals how financial ambition overrides empathy. Even Camden, despite years rejecting his family's wealth, proves susceptible to Asbie House's influence. His intrusive thoughts about Ben having an accident show how quickly patterns of power and violence resurface. More troubling is his recognition that these thoughts would have pleased Ruby, suggesting wealth's corruption spans generations, dormant but never truly vanishing.
Can the cycle of violence and manipulation be broken, or is darkness inherited like wealth? Camden initially believes he has escaped the McTavish legacy by discovering his birth mother. His visits to observe Penny Holiday teaching convince him that whatever cruelty ran through the McTavish bloodline wasn't part of him. Yet the truth proves more disturbing. Camden's confession about Ruby's death reveals he first unplugged her phone as she overdosed, then hastened her end with a pillow when her death rattles became unbearable. Though Jules maintains Ruby orchestrated her own death, Camden's actions reveal an inherited capacity for violence. Jules' own violent tendencies emerge when she kills Ben with a fireplace poker. Her calculated response, staging the scene, starting the fire, and crafting a narrative blaming Ben for Nell's murder, mirrors Ruby's manipulative nature. This inherited darkness haunts the epilogue, where a pregnant Jules contemplates their future from their South Carolina beach house, wondering if their child might inherit not just wealth, but also the capacity for manipulation and violence. The novel concludes with Camden returning to find Asbie House in flames. Though Jules lies about Ben being trapped inside, Camden sees through her deception, but chooses love as they watch McTavish history burn. 8 months later, they've established a bright coastal home in South Carolina, a deliberate contrast to Asbie House's gothic shadows. They've redirected the McTavish fortune toward healing through youth centers, educational trusts, and support systems. Their wealth, though diminished through charity, remains substantial. Beneath their new life, tensions simmer. Jules keeps Ruby's letters hidden behind her mother's portrait. Both carry the weight of calculated murder. Camden's mercy killing of Ruby parallels Jules's elimination of Ben, acts that have marked their souls forever. As Jules carries their child, questions emerge about inheritance and redemption. Camden's watch inscription raises questions about healing versus transferring trauma. Their unborn child represents both hope and uncertainty, suggesting some inheritances may never truly be escaped.